Welcome to There Is Hope, a program dedicated to getting those trapped in addiction on the road to recovery and living clean and sober lives. The opinions expressed on the following program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of this station, and any advice or counsel given is provided for informational purposes only. Your host for There Is Hope, most vulnerable talk show host on Seattle radio, Richard Dover.
Glad to have you on the air listening to us. Today we have Josh with us. Josh was on the show last week. His name is Josh Oshu. Josh, how do you pronounce your name?
Oshu.
Oshu. Josh Oshu. He was on the intervention show was it Monday night?
It was last Monday, yes.
Last Monday night at 9 o'clock Pacific time. I don't know how many listened to that show. But what we're going to do is we're going to talk a little bit about Josh is just watching the show, his experience with that, how he felt about watching that show to see his life in front of him for the good and the better, the worse, and everything in between. And then what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the Encounter with God seminar that's coming up. We have one at our church, and those listening may not be able to participate in one, but we're going to share some principles that I think will be helpful. If you've never listened to the show before, and what we do is we discuss the topics of addiction and recovery. We have testimonials of those lives that have been changed, and we share concepts that can be of help to you. If you'd like to know more about There Is Hope Radio, you can go to our website. That's thereishoperadio.org. One more time, thereishoperadio.org. I want to emphasize that when we talk about addiction, we're not just talking about alcohol and drugs, but we're talking about a variety of addictions, whatever they may be. Well, Josh, just get started here. You were on intervention show. Now, you had not seen yourself before then, right? You didn't see any of the video clips. They didn't give you any previews or not.
That's correct, yeah.
Okay, so it was brand new to you. As soon as it went on the air, there you were, first time.
Yep, first time I seen myself.
Okay, and did you when you saw yourself and some of the behavior, were you shocked? Were you surprised? Was that the Josh you know?
No, I was more disgusted in my just in my actions that I saw in the show. You know, I felt like a jerk. Let's just say, and you know. You know, the one thing I had to keep telling myself throughout that whole show is just, you know, Josh, you are not like that anymore. That is not you. You were sober. You're responsible. You're in your daughter's life. I just had to keep reminding myself because I was like, oh, wow, holy cut, you know, holy. You know, it's just, I just had to keep telling myself that.
Well, but then you're claiming you're different than that.
Right.
So what makes you different?
That I'm sober.
You're sober.
Yeah. I'm sober. I'm more mature. I think a lot differently. You know, there's a few things that happened to me today that, you know, I could have easily went down the road and, you know, got something to drink or turned around, but I just couldn't do that, and I wouldn't do it.
So you had some, quote, excuses or reasons that you could have gone to drink to take care
of. It would have been
things.
Definitely an excuse, yes.
Yeah. Now, yep. And that's what you see. It's an excuse, isn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly. All excuses.
Okay. Now, when you look at it, you said immature and some other things. You've been clean for 100 and how many days?
It's around 150 now.
Around 150, okay. And some are going to say, well, that's just only 150. You know, what makes you think that you quote, have arrived? And yet, I know you. You don't think you've arrived.
Well, one thing, you know, a lot of people say to me, they're like, well, okay, you're 20 years old. Why do you think now that you are able to be, you know, sober?
Yeah, because you stay at a house, a clean and sober house. We have guys that are 50 years old, and they've gone through relapse after relapse. All kinds of things have gone on. They don't seem to make it. Why is this 20-year-old kid going to make it?
One thing is because I want the sobriety.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of people don't want the sobriety. They probably do want it, but, you know, they don't see it possible. Another thing is that, you know, I can go scientific on you also. And I could talk about narrow pathways, which I learned at the center, which are their narrow pathways are they have positive thinking and negative thinking. Well, if you think about it, I've been drinking since I was 8 years old. So
yeah, I want to clarify something there because the show right at the beginning it said right. 9 months of straight drinking. I'm thinking 9 months, so that's nothing. But
no, it was 9 months that I lived at my grandma's. So they seem to mess up sometimes.
Right.
Anyway, so, you know, you got the positive thinking and then you have the negative thinking. Well, you know, I've been drinking since I was 8 years old. You think about these guys that, you know, have been to treatment 5 or 6 times and they're 50 years old. Well, they've had a lot of negative talk inside of their head. So those neural pathways have been ingrained with negativity. Now, narrow pathways, what they do is they recycle themselves. So if you keep doing like positive affirmations in the morning and all those good things, you know, it starts turning those neural pathways into positive. Now, obviously, you know, I'm only 20 years old, so mine weren't so ingrained that, you know, anybody can turn themselves around if they want to.
But now, I know many of 20-year-olds that I've worked with, and they don't have the story you have. I mean, the reality is they've gone to treatment, maybe at 20, they've gone to treatment 3 times already. They still haven't got it. And I think one of the number one things is you want to be clean.
Right. I want to be clean, you know, not just for me, but I need to be clean just for me. But I also want to be clean for my daughter and my family. Because what I have right now, I'm not willing to lose.
Yeah, I think that's one of the keys. And you know, just talk just a little bit about your daughter that I'm sure when you watch that, you know, I'll have to be honest, it was a little bit hard for me watching it because it brings me back to my past. And so I look at how I was as a father, and lucky enough, nobody had a camera on me. And
right. And
showing it, it'd be very embarrassing to have that played in front of national TV. When you looked at that, I mean, it really was showing you what alcohol does. What didn't it show you that?
Yeah, it showed a lot of, you know, irresponsibility. I mean, I was sitting there laying in my bed, you know, I was flipping my sister the bird, you know, while my sister is sitting there, you know, trying to get me up and my daughter's trying to get me up. And then I got, you know, and, you know, foul language and everything like that. And it was just very inappropriate. And, you know, I think everybody should put a video camera on themselves. I think they would be very surprised in how their actions are.
Now, isn't there a part of you that I'm going to go by. Again, I know you, and I know you're very serious about recovery, but again, I've worked with many people who are in that in-between state. They don't know for sure if they want recovery. Is the normal addict thinking is, I'm going to have to now justify that behavior. Instead of saying it was flat wrong, I was a jerk, there would have to be, but you don't understand, I got to prep you up that before that happened, you know, this was going on and da-da-da-da-da, and here's all the excuses why I was that way.
Just an excuse. You know what? I take full responsibility in my actions. And, you know, I wanted to mention something. You know, I was talking to my, I was talking about my father last week. And, you know, he's pretty angry right now. He won't even talk to me. He won't do nothing. You know, I love my dad to death. But it's just, I don't know. I feel bad about it. But, he won't talk to me. But, you know, I want him to know that all my actions that I made, I'm taking full responsibility for.
Right. Now, again, you grow up in a home. You know, last week we talked about that. We talked the difference between fathers, your father and then Gideon's father, and the difference between fathers and the choices that we make. And the reality is we can live in some of the worst conditions, worst situations there is, and yet we have a choice still. We have a free will. We can choose what we're going to do with that. I think of Ben Carson. He's a famous brain surgeon. He's the number one brain surgeon in the world, and he's separated Siamese twins that have been attached by the head. So he's a very, very famous surgeon. Black gentleman, grew up in the ghettos. Mm-hmm. Nothing was going for him. Not a thing was going for him. Look where he's at. Now, what was the difference? It was called a choice. Was it harder for him? Yeah, you grow up a black man in the ghetto, it's harder. It's a whole lot harder than it is for me and you. You know, you grew up in Covington, come on. But he made a choice, and out of that choice, look where he's at. And that's the real key to recovery is the choices we make. The Bible calls that renewing the mind, and that's what you've been doing, is changing how you're renewing your mind. You're changing the way you think. Has it been hard?
You know, at times it's difficult. Other times I'm like, you know what, I got a handle on this. But the thing is, as soon as I think, all right, man, I got a handle on my recovery, as soon as you get too comfortable is when your addict's going to come right back up, because you forget all those warning signs.
Right.
You lose track of everything, and you're like, oh, whoa, what happened there? Well, you know what, if I sit here and say, oh, I'm never going to drink again, I'm crazy. Because I need to tell myself today I'm not going to drink.
Right.
But if I tell myself that I'm not going to drink ever again, you know, I'm gonna get way too comfortable.
And that's what I see a lot of times. What happens is that individuals, to be honest, normally about a year and a half, got good sobriety time, start feeling good, got work, you know, everything's going good, and then a person forgets where they came from. And I think one of the things, I think you're blessed for that show to be able to watch it, as hard as it may have been to be watching that, is that it's a reminder that you always can look back to. That's, I mean, you'll be a fool if you think you can drink again and you're not going to go down that same road.
Right.
It may not be the exact same road, but it'll be a road that there's a road of destruction.
It won't be a road that'll help me out, no.
And the reality is you're lucky enough to have your daughter, and the reality there's many out there that have lost their children because of their drinking, their drugging, their gambling, whatever it may be, and you have a choice of what to do at 20 years old to make the right choice.
And I'm glad I did it now and not 47 years old.
Right, right. And the good news is if you're listening, you're 47 years old, it's not too late.
Right.
You know, that's the other thing. You know, the sad part is, you know, we talked a little bit, you know, it was kind of private what you shared, so I don't want to share it publicly, but, you know, some struggles with your mother.
Right.
And she isn't getting it. And that's the hard part.
No, she's not. And, you know, it.
Two people in treatment for 90 days, right? 90
right.
days.
Yeah.
Both in treatment, both good programs. One gets it, one don't.
You know, and I guess that's actually kind of the odds of it. You know, that's pretty much the fractions of who goes to treatment and who doesn't,
right.
You know.
Right.
And yeah, I don't know. It's a difficult subject. And, you know, one thing, you know, I've explained to her a lot, hey, you know, if you ever need help, I'll help you out. But it seems like when I do help her, she tries to bring me down that same road. Like, you know, today, I'll just explain it to people. You know, she asked me to go to the grocery store with her, and I was like, yeah, I'll take you to the grocery store. I have some time. You know, so we're going to the grocery store, and she's like, Josh, take me to the liquor store, take me to the liquor store. No, I'm not going to take you to the liquor store. You know, start screaming at me, everything gets very verbal, and it's, you know, and, you know, I'm sitting there thinking to myself, I'm like, you know what? And I told her, I was like, you know, if I was going to have a drink, I would have already done it.
Mm-hmm.
And, It's really frustrating to me because, you know, my own mother, knowing that sobriety time that I have, she knows I've been sober, and my own mother sits there and tries to bring me down with her. And it really did upset me, and I was, you know, I was pretty disgusted in that.
Right. And so what you did is you had a few beers and you're okay now.
No. No. No, no.
That's the difference. You know, somebody said last week, I think it was a friend of yours that called in and talked about,
right.
No, I think it was another gentleman that called in. And he talked about live wires, and now you know something with your mom. Can you help your mom or not? You know, the next time she asks you to take her to the grocery store, I don't know if I would do that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, I'm definitely gonna have a second thought about it. And you know, and he was the guy that called in about the live wires. You know, and that just put it right in front of my face. I'm like, wow, my own mother is a live wire.
Yeah, those who saw the show, they saw that the relationship you have, you were drinking buddies.
Right.
And what your mom wants, this is the sad part. She wants you to still be her drinking buddy.
Right. And I refuse to.
And that's the part. And you've said before that you've struggled with codependency and those mm-hmm. type of issues. So, how much did you have about? Oh, you know what? I got to take care of my mom. It's my responsibility and all that type of thing.
You know, it's funny because before I went to treatment, you know, I always had that guilt trip, you know, oh, well, I have to help her. You know, now after treatment, I'm like, you know what? No, she's not healthy for me. I cannot do this to myself. So, you know, really, it's my codependency isn't really popping up
mm-hmm.
because I'm not allowing it to pop up. I'm not,
right,
codependency is part of my addict. And I can't let that come. I can't let it pop up. And that guilt is just, you know, it's pretty much the devil. The guilt is devilish.
Right.
So
right.
I just can't let it come up.
So those who are listening, you know, as you heard Josh's story, I hope that you're able to watch the show Intervention to be able to hear the show. And what we want to do is we do have a caller on the line. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and put the caller on. And then what we're going to do is we're going to kind of switch subjects and really talk about the encounter. So what we have is we have Bill from Florida. Sounds like he's a relationship to Josh. Bill, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
All right. So you're what, Josh's uncle?
Yep.
That would be right, yeah.
Yeah, that would be right. So
that would be right.
Why don't you go in? So you must have known how Josh has been before and who he is today, even though you're in Florida. Do you have an idea who Josh is?
Oh, absolutely. I have a big idea who Josh is.
Why don't you share a little bit?
Well, Josh has come a long way. He sure has, and everybody is proud of him. Josh has been through a lot, and Josh has succeeded. Josh just doesn't need anybody to come and start, you know, to manipulate Josh. Josh is very intelligent. I can't say nothing but good things about Josh. I know of his past. I'm his father's brother, so I know everything that, you know, has gone on in his life. We're just all proud of him. You know, I heard him say his dad was upset with him. Yeah, his dad was upset with him, but I talked to my brother and I said, listen, you know, your son's only speaking the truth. You were an alcoholic. You took control of your life. His father went to treatment, and he's doing great. He's been sober for over 2 months. He looks healthy. Told him he's going to live a while. You know, if he hadn't quit, he'd probably have been buried by the end of the year, you know?
Right, right.
And
even with that, Josh could use the excuse and say, you know, my dad was an alcoholic. I'm going to have to be an alcoholic. I have no choice in the matter. It's in the genes, da-da-da-da-da, and go on and on and on, and he has a choice.
But like I said, I take full responsibility in the actions that I take.
Right, right.
Absolutely.
Well, would you like to say, Bill, one more thing, just a word of encouragement to Josh, something you'd like to say with him here on the air?
Just keep looking up and keep moving forward, Josh, like you are. You're doing a great job. We are proud of you, and you know we love you.
All right. Thank you, Uncle Willie.
I know you're shocked to hear that I called, but...
kind of, yeah.
I've been sitting here going, I'm going to call him, you know? Give you some encouragement on this side of the country.
All right. Thank you, Uncle Willie. Love you.
All right. Love you.
Thanks
right.
for calling. Well, I wish when I was going through what I was going through, I had some family members. I got to see how Josh has had family members that have been a support to him. The reality, your family is who got you into the intervention. And
that
so
correct,
there was
yeah.
some family members that intervened for you. And there's a lot of those who are listening that don't have a family like that. They don't have a family that are intervened for them. And what I believe is that you may not have a family that intervenes for you, but there can be other individuals that will intervene.
Well, and you can, you know... It's all about finding that teacher. You know, you got AAs, NA, you know, any type of meeting. There's so many meetings. There's so many different types. I was looking at them a couple of days ago, really surprised. You know, you can find that. I mean, it's always nice. And I can't thank my family enough, my sister, you know, my Aunt Candy, my grandma for helping me out with Caitlin when she can, you know. So it's just, you know, my whole family has been there for me, and I couldn't thank them more. So,
yeah, very good. What we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and talk with Josh about an encounter with God. He has no idea all that we're going to talk about. I've kind of set him up. But I want him to be the same as you listening as the radio listener.
Time to take a break. We'll be back with more There Is Hope with Richard Dover. The Center has offered hope and healing for over 26 years. Discover freedom from anxiety and depression, from binge eating and other food struggles. Find peace in place of fear. Have a life without secret addictions. The Center features individualized whole person care. Click on aplaceofhope.com for more information or for a no-cost consultation, call the Center toll-free, 888-771-5166. That's 888-771-5166.
Talking with Josh, and he's been sharing his experience of watching himself on the intervention TV show, sharing what he's learned in life. And what we're going to do now is we're going to talk about going to an encounter with God. Again, Josh has no idea really what we're talking about. He's just been seeing some of the topics, and we're both going to be vulnerable here right on the air.
Yeah.
So what we're going to do is the Encounter with God, what it is a seminar that our church puts on, and many, many churches throughout the nation, actually throughout the world, put on these encounter events. And they're called an Encounter with God Weekend or an Encounter with God Seminar or Retreat. And what it is just a variety of topics that are covered that teach principles of how to be able to walk a victorious life. And what I mean by victorious life is to be able to walk as one that has victory over whatever addiction, struggle, trial, tribulations that you're going through in life, to be able to make right choices. And so what we're going to do is we're going to go right into the topics. And, oops, I got another caller here. I think we'll go ahead and let her come in. He has his family. I don't know, Josh, you got to tell your family members that you're on the radio now. Here we go.
Yeah.
So, Candy, are you on the line?
I am.
And you're Josh's aunt?
I am.
Well, why don't you go ahead and share with Josh?
So what I would like to, yes.
Okay, you need to turn your radio off. You're going to get a delay
okay,
there.
Turn the radio off. So what I would like everybody who's listening to know is that Josh was not what you saw on intervention. that I've known him since he was born, and he was destined for great things. And he is a very mature, very in tune person. And I never expected anything less than him. And it was very hard to see what he went through, and it was very challenging, but I never lost hope in him.
And now, were you part of the intervention?
Yes.
Okay, I thought so. Okay. So what, now, when you say that, I know what you're saying, but when you say that's not the real Josh, why don't you talk for a moment about that? Because I think individuals, I don't know how many people I've worked with that are involved in alcohol, addictions, and they're actually very intelligent individuals. They're gifted. So many of them are very gifted. And I think sometimes they don't know how to handle that gifting in their life, and they get overwhelmed, and so then they, you know, they go to a substance to self-medicate. But why don't you just share for a minute what you mean by that isn't the person that you saw?
Well, Josh was unfortunate in the fact that he was destined for great things, being born an innocent child of God, and didn't have parents who cared about him and didn't have parents who instilled enough time in him. And so without his parents being present, he was kind of left to raise himself. And with the trauma that was in our family, he, you know, waited until, you know, in his adult adolescence to kind of show the trauma that had been inflicted in him. Whereas if he would have been raised by a family that had good values and parenting skills and spent that time with him, he never would have had to go to treatment.
Right.
To learn
right.
that.
You know what, the good news is the Bible talks about God turns all things around, you know, that ultimately that any bad situation, God can turn those things around. And, you know, that's the key is, are we willing to allow him to do that? That are we willing to cooperate with God to do what he wants to do in our lives in spite of whatever may have happened? And Josh is making that choice.
I believe in my nephew 100%. And I believe that he has allowed God in his life. And I believe that he's destined for great things, which is what he was meant for to begin with.
And here's the thing, when we talk about great things, that you know what great things are? What he's doing today, talking on the radio. If this is all
exactly.
he did, if he never did another thing, never did another radio show, never talked to another human being, of just sharing his story, being honest and vulnerable, being real, that in itself can make the difference in many, many lives.
Great things is about being at peace with yourself and with your life and making the most out of your life.
There you go. And if you do that, you automatically touch other people. You don't even have to try to do it. It happens automatically.
Yep.
Well, thank you for calling. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye now. Okay, let's go to the first topic. The first topic is that is in an encounter is titled The Prodigal Son. And what I'm going to do is set up a little bit because there may be somebody listening and say, who in the world is the prodigal son? I don't even know if Josh knows who the prodigal son is.
I have no idea.
No clue. Okay, so I'm going to deal real quick with this, and then we're going to see if this applies to Josh's life when it comes to recovery. This story is called The Prodigal Son, and what it is about a young man. It was a Jewish boy. If you get the context in the Bible, it'd be the context of the Jewish nation. And it's found, if you have a Bible, you can find the story in Luke chapter 15 is the story of the prodigal son. And what it is it was a boy that had a father that was a king, rich ruler, and the boy goes to his father and says, hey, I want my inheritance, and I want it now. I'm not going to wait. I want it now. And the father says, are you sure you really want it? He says, yeah, I want it now. The boy takes his inheritance, and he does what many of us would do if we was a teenage boy and we got all the money we could possibly get. What did he do? He goes out, he parties, he goes out and has a great old time, has a fun time, but there's something that happens when you go partying and you have no self-control. And what happens, he finds himself in the pigsty, pig pen. So he's in the pig pen, and next thing you know, he's eating the very food that the pigs are eating. So he's gone down a terrible path, and he says, you know what? I'm a loser. I'm just an absolute loser. There's no hope for me. There's nothing I can do. And in the meantime, his father is looking out for his son because his father knows his son's going to come back. Sometime his son's going to come back. The father loves his son and cares for his son. The son says, you know what? Maybe I should just go back as a servant to my father, because at least the servants, they're not eating in a pig pen right now. So he heads back. The Bible says that he came to his senses. This is the one key. He came to his senses. In other words, it's like something clicked in his mind that I don't need to be living this lifestyle anymore. He came to his senses, and he starts heading back to his father. And the Bible says the father's looking out for him, sees his son, runs to his son, and just due to time, I can't share all the principles that's there, but the father loves his son. He doesn't say to him, you're a rotten scumbag, what are you doing? You know, you did this and did that. The father just loves him and then has a feast for him. So that's the story of the prodigal son. And so we teach that concept in the encounter, and I want to apply it in a couple of different ways. And as a Christian, what the concept would be is somebody's raised in a Christian home, they're serving God, and then they walk away from God, and that's called backsliding. So they backslide, they walk away from God, they come to their senses, they reach out to God, and he comes back and he loves him. Now, Josh, far as I know, you're not a Christian, have not accepted Christ into your life to say, I've accepted Jesus, my Lord and Savior. I mean, you don't have to share this if you want. I don't know if you even understand all that or not.
I haven't been baptized, no.
Okay.
But I do believe in God.
You believe in God, but you never said, Jesus Christ, I want you to be the Lord and Savior of my life, right?
I said it in praying.
Okay.
Does
okay.
That count?
Okay. All right. Okay. And this is new to you because you didn't even you believed there was a God or
well before treatment I did believe there was a God, but let's just say I had no faith in it. You know, I had no faith in God. I didn't practice any of his beliefs. Never wore a cross. Before treatment, plus my parents, they never went to treatment. I mean, not treatment. They never went to church either. So, no, I guess.
Okay, so for yourself, you wouldn't be the, now again, I want to apply this to listeners, to those that are listening. Everybody has a different story. So maybe you're listening and you have the same story that Josh has. Is, again, if Josh was raised in a Christian home, what it would mean is he went to church all the time and he was in youth group, he was totally involved. And the next thing you know, he goes and he walks away from God. He has 10 girlfriends. He's sleeping with all of them. He's drinking and partying and everything else. And then he comes to his senses and he comes back to God. So maybe that's your story. You're listening, and you did walk away from God. Here's the key point of that story that we emphasize, God's love. Whether you walked away from God or you never served God, I'm sure there's things you did that you regretted. You were in the pig pen, whether you liked it or not, right?
Right, yes.
And so out of it, it's when we've made bad choices in our life. And here's a message, and I don't know, Josh, if you had this thought in your mind, but normally when we're in the pig pen, we made a lot of bad choices, there's consequences. Many people think God doesn't love them, he doesn't care for them, he's not on your side. How did you feel about that? There was those thoughts come in your mind.
Well, see, I was so distant from God to where that probably didn't even cross my mind. I don't remember it crossing my mind because I was so distant I didn't think about God.
Right, right.
You know, there was times to where I, you know, was in situations where, like, you know, I sit there and think, well, where is he? Where is he? Well, and then through treatment, because I went to a faith-based treatment center, you know, in the whole time in treatment, I started thinking and reading more and going, okay, wait a minute. You know, he is always going to be in my life, but, you know, I have to have some responsibility in my life. I cannot depend on him for everything.
Can you? Can,
no.
You can't?
No.
How about if you depend upon him for everything, but then you do your part? Because you'll never be able to do enough.
Okay.
What about that concept?
Wait, you know, just stump me. That's okay.
You know what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? Is that because if we're not careful, we can get into doing everything that we need to do and not realizing there's a part that your recovery isn't based on how you can work the program as much as you want, but ultimately your recovery is in God's hands.
Right. And but the one thing, I depend on God for things that I feel that are out of my hands and I cannot control. Other things I can control, I do.
Very good. Very good. Yeah, and that's the balance that's in there.
Right.
Because some people say, oh, I'm trusting God in everything, and they sit and you know, God's going to get me a job, and they never
and
make
happens.
The phone call.
Right. Okay. Nothing happens.
So now, this go back to the prodigal son. Again, the concept is the father's love. So somebody who's walked away from God, obviously, if they walked away from God and they're living for the devil, they're going to believe that God doesn't love them. That's just the devil's going to get them thinking that. You're no good. You can't ever go back to God. You've done the unpardonable sin. You know, God can't forgive you. Well, I want to say to those who maybe are in that situation, that's a lie. God can forgive you. He wants to forgive you. He wants to set you free. He wants to pull you out of the pit. God isn't out to keep you in the pit. He wants to take you out of the pit.
And one of the biggest things is that you need to ask for forgiveness. And I don't mean sinning every day and
right.
then ask for
right.
forgiveness at
right.
the end of the day.
Right.
You know, I mean, you know, walking in his beliefs. And, you know, everyone makes mistakes and everyone strays. But, you know, the biggest thing is that just ask for forgiveness.
Now, look what the son did. The son went back to the father. And the words of the son was, Father, I've sinned against you and I've sinned against God. See, when we do like what the son did, he didn't only sin against God. He sinned against his family members. There's things he brought. Think of the shame, the embarrassment. Those who don't know the Jewish culture, they don't eat pigs.
Mm-hmm.
So here's a boy eating with the pigs. What a shame and embarrassment to a father who was a Jew that you don't even touch pigs and he's eating with the pigs. And yet the father loved him. He didn't say, you rotten, terrible son, again. He loved him. For yourself, I mean, as an individual who maybe didn't believe in God, now you look and see what kind of father you were at times. You look at some of those things, is that you have to remind yourself, you know what? I've asked God for forgiveness. He loves me. In spite of all the mistakes I made, you know, there's going to be times, you're doing good right now. There's going to be times when you're all by yourself and the devil's going to come back to you and say, you know what? You were a terrible father. You was a miserable father. You don't have the ability. You don't have the skill to be a good father. You know what? That's the curse that God's put on your life. And we're going to talk about, if we get to more time here, we're going to talk about, there's another thing in the encounter we talk about, and that's curses. And the devil will say, you're cursed. You're cursed to be an alcoholic. You're cursed to not make it. You might as well forget it. And yet you have to be at a place to know God's love and that he loves you, he loves your family, and he has something better for you. Now, do you believe that?
I do believe that, yes.
And that's part of, the encounter. So that's one of the subjects we talk about is the prodigal son, and so that's the father's love. Now, another one I want to talk about is the next session that we have is called Face-to-Face with God. And what that's talking about is wrestling with God and having a face-to-face encounter with him. And I'll give you the backdrop on that one. And what the backdrop on that one is there was a gentleman that was in the Bible, and his name was Jacob. And Jacob it's a great story. If you want to read this story, I'd encourage you to read it because there's so many people see themselves in it. And it's in Genesis, around Genesis chapter 25, 26, 27 of the Bible. You can go there, chapter 28. Is if you look at that story, what it is Jacob was a manipulator. He was a deceiver, and he did it in his mother's womb, him and his brother Esau. They're both in the mother's womb, and Esau is going to come out, and Jacob says, no, I'm going to pop out before you. So it happened in the mother's womb. But he was a manipulator, and he wheeled and dealed, and he found something out. He found a father-in-law named Laban who was a greater manipulator than him. And so Laban manipulates him, and again, we don't have the time for the story. But what ultimately happens is that Jacob's in a wrestling match with God. And ultimately, God gets to win the wrestling match, okay? And the concept is that wrestling with God in itself is not a bad thing because when we wrestle with God, at least they're wrestling with him. You weren't even wrestling with him. You didn't even believe in him.
Right.
So how could you have a wrestling match with God? You know, God says, do this, and you say, no, I'm going to do this. God says, do this. You say, no, I'm going to do that. Well, some are in the midst of their addiction. They can't hear God's voice whatsoever.
Exactly what I was going to say. You know, when I was in my addiction, I didn't even, you know, have a sign because I wasn't looking for one.
Yeah, you weren't looking for one, and you're in the midst of what you're in, and you're, quote, satisfied. That's the crazy part.
Yeah, I guess I was happy with
myself.
Know,
you were satisfied enough that you weren't getting the help until the intervention came, and so in that sense, you were satisfied in the midst of addiction in the sense that you didn't wake up and say, I'm going to treatment today. It took an intervention from your family.
That's correct, yeah, yeah.
And yet, there was obviously, you cooperated in that intervention. You jumped for it.
Well, you know, at first, you know, when I was sitting there, I was thinking, oh, man, I really don't want to go. That's 90 days. That's a long time away from my daughter. And I think my Aunt Candy said, she's like, Josh, you're really not in her life anyways. You know, you're not.
Right.
You might be there physically, but emotionally, I wasn't.
Yeah. I want to jump in on that because working with people who are in treatment or they're in addiction and you're trying to get them to treatment, so many of them use their children, their dog, Okay, they're homeless, and so their dog's their best buddy. And I can't go into treatment because what's going to happen to my dog? Okay, so the dog's more important than their treatment. And they'll use the family, the kids, and yet they weren't there. Now, here's another thing that you have to be careful of is once you get clean, you can't make your daughter so important to you that what happens is you don't take care of you because you're so busy taking care of your daughter. And people who get in recovery, that's another mistake. You know, they haven't been with their kids for 10 years. They get in recovery, and they're doing everything to get custody of their kids and all this other stuff, and they're not ready to even have their kids. And then what happens, they get stressed out, and they go back to using.
Right, yeah. And one thing is, you know, making my whole life about Caitlin would be codependent of myself because I'm not worrying about myself. I'm not looking at my own warning signs. And that would steer me down to a lot of stress.
A lot of stress.
Yeah.
So just go back to the face-to-face. So this is wrestling with God. Now that you've come out of recovery, some people listening are wrestling with God and they're in the midst of their addiction. They know they need to go to detox. They know to go to treatment and they're wrestling with God. And what they don't understand, why wrestle with God? He's for you. He's on your side. Okay, he's not against you. He's on your side. He wants to bless you. God loves us. He wants the good for us, not the bad for us. So somebody that's in addiction, they're wrestling with God. Somebody goes through recovery, and then a lot of times that's where the real wrestling takes place. Because now, I'm going to tell you, Josh, you have to make decisions now what is right and what is wrong. And now you have clarity of mind. You have sobriety in your life. You're not fogged up like you used to be. And so then you have to make a choice every day. Are you going to do it God's way or your way?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll let you know, I don't think you're probably always doing it God's way, okay? Have you found anything in your life that you've had to wrestle with, that you know that now that you understand God, his principles more, understand morality more, you're got the spiritual side of you now that you can see good and evil more and all that kind of stuff. Is there something that you say, I'm wrestling with, you know, this is an area that I wrestle with, that I know that God is wanting to do something?
It's probably actually getting out and going to church or even opening the Bible on a regular basis. I think that's my biggest problem. That's one thing I'm wrestling with. And, you know, I feel as if I don't have enough time when in reality, you know, I do and I don't. I mean, I do have enough time. There's always enough time for God. If he has enough time for everybody else, there should be enough time for him.
He had enough time for you to set aside a place to go into treatment for free, to get you in a house for 2 months for free. And then you turn around and say, thank you, God, for getting me in a house for 2 months for free. Thank you for getting me for treatment, but I don't have time.
Right, right. And, you know, and I sit there and I kind of beat myself up because I'm like, all right, man, I need to do this. I need to do this. And, you know, I do pray almost every night, but, you know, I still could open the Bible up, or, you know, on Sundays, I still could go to church. And, you know, I'm sure a couple of my family members would love to go to church on Sunday.
Right, right.
So, you know, I'm trying to get that accustomed into my life so I can start doing that.
You know, and you have to look at it and you have to say, why is that? Why is that struggle there? Here's what I always say. Some don't like it, but I say, what lie do you believe? Because I believe if we're not making right choices, good choices, not doing what we know is good for us, if we're not doing that, I believe there's some lie that we believe that's more powerful than doing the right thing. So the lie would be, I don't have enough time. Well, that's a lie.
Right.
Okay. And so you have to look at it and say, what is there that, you know, I know you've shared with the reading the Bible. It's hard to understand. I don't understand it. So why read something I don't understand? And I shared, well, if you don't read it, you obviously can't understand it.
Right. Well, there's alternatives to that. You know, they have easy Bibles. You know,
right.
you have a lot of things. Or, you know, you always have a teacher there.
Right.
Ask somebody. One of my biggest problems, even still in my recovery, is procrastination. That's a huge problem. I've had that problem since I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I procrastinate really bad. So even when, you know, I'm sitting there and I have the time, you know, that hour that I could go, I don't. And I'm like, well, I really need to do this, so let me do that. And then I, you know,
And of course, that applies not only to going to church then. Obviously, if procrastination become other areas too, then.
It could be anything, you know, anything.
Yeah, so what we do is we talk about the face-to-face with God and the encounter with God. And what we talk about in that is we share the story, and then we show the principle that sooner or later we have to let God win.
Right.
We have to let him win. Whatever the area is, that we have to let him win. And when it comes to recovery, if a person doesn't let God win, if they don't give in to the will of God, then it's just a life of destruction. It's not going to change. It's not going to get better. there has to be a point. The first step of AA, the first step is I'm powerless.
Mm-hmm.
And there has to be a place where we say we are powerless. And then second step, turn our life over to God as we understood him. And so there has to be a place that we're going to have to again, stop that wrestling match and let God win. And here's the truth. I've been a Christian since 1979, how many years that is, 30 years or whatever it is. I still wrestle with God. There's still things. I have to, every day, have to say, okay, what is God's will? The difference for me is I might wrestle, but I let him win pretty quick. And so it'll be something in my mind that says, well, I want to do this. Well, is that God's will or not? And that's where I've learned. Everything I try to do, is that God's will? What would God's will be? Is that good or healthy? Is that helpful or not? Is it healthy for somebody else? Now, you live in the house. I manage the house. I make some mistakes. You've seen them. I don't handle things the right way at times. But in the midst of that, what I do is afterwards, I look and I say, okay, God, I need to do this differently. The key isn't to be perfect. The key isn't to never make mistakes. But when we do make them, is that we acknowledge it and we move on. And many times people in recovery, I mean, you've seen it happen. I mean, we confront some issue, and nobody will admit to something that we know, and we even know that person is the guilty party, but they won't admit to it.
Right. Yep. Seen it.
And that again is the conflict isn't really between me and them; it's between them and God. They're wrestling with God.
Right.
In reality.
Well, yeah, they're lying. You know, and like I was saying to you earlier, was about when you start telling those lies. It's pretty scary. You start believing those.
Right, right.
And, you're ultimately not lying just to the other person or to yourself. You're lying to God, and God already knows, he knows everything. So,
and how many times do we do that? We kind of will and deal with God, and God, you can't will and deal with them.
Well, God, let me have that one. Sorry.
He already has it figured out. What we're going to do is, the next subject we're going to talk about is the cross.
More There Is Hope coming up with host Richard Doverly.
Welcome back to There Is Hope Radio. I want to mention something. I was listening to our ad spot there with the center. That's where Joshua went to, is the center. And I just want to give a little bit of a plug for them. I appreciate them so much because of their whole person approach to counseling. Even though they're a faith-based program, they deal with more than the spiritual side. They're dealing with the emotional side. They're dealing with the mental side. They're dealing with even the health, eating healthy, and how that can affect you. And I just appreciate Dr. Jans and what he started at the center. Maybe you're listening to us and you say, I can't deal with all the spiritual stuff. These guys are getting too spiritual for us, and I can't handle that. Well, maybe that's the case. Maybe what you really need to do is to get into a counselor. And so I encourage you to consider the center of another counseling program. But I will say, and I am not ashamed to say that I believe that there is the spiritual side. If we don't connect on that side, I think we're just doing it pretty much on our own, and we only can go so far with that, and there has to be a place where we go further than just what we can do on our own, but to have a God that's there to help us. And so that leads us into the next subject that we're going to talk about when it comes to the encounter with God. By the way, again, you can go to thereshoperadio.org, and there's a link there to tell you about the encounter retreat, and even though you may not live in the area, be able to participate in an encounter, we would be glad to get you some material and some information to help you. So the next subject we talk about is the cross and what Jesus did on the cross. Now, some people may say, I don't even know what the cross is. All I know it is a piece of jewelry. And what's a piece of jewelry have to do with the cross? So, again, for those listeners who maybe know nothing about the gospel of Jesus Christ, know nothing about what Jesus did, I'm going to just share real quick here, and then we're going to talk a little bit about the cross and what Jesus accomplished on the cross. The concept is that Jesus came down on earth as man, and he was God's son, and he was fully God, but he chose to become man on the earth. He came down on earth. He lived a sinless life, and along with that sinless life, he died on the cross for our sins. And not only did he die on the cross for our sins, but he was resurrected, and then he went to the right hand of the Father, and the Bible says he intercedes for us at the right hand of the Father. Now, somebody listening to me that's a Christian is going to get very upset because I made that so quick, and they want me to cover all the details, but we don't have the time. And that's what the encounter is about, is when we talk about the cross, we help individuals who maybe have never been to church, never heard the gospel. Maybe the only gospel they've heard is they've turned into Christian TV, and all the gospel they heard is give money, 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 give us more money. And if you give us more money, God's going to heal you, and he's going to make you well, and everything's going to be great. And they say, if that's what it's all about, I don't want any part of it. So that's why we believe that the concept of the cross is good for the encounter, for those who have struggled with addictions or other issues in their life and they're trying to get their life in order. Because what we do is we give them a message of hope, that there is forgiveness, that God loves us enough that he sent his son to die on a cross for us. And so, Josh, did you know anything about the message of the cross, what Jesus did growing up? What did you have an understanding about it?
Growing up, I had no understanding about what Jesus did. I mean, I
did
knew,
you know there was a Jesus?
Well, yeah, I knew that. I knew he was on a cross. I mean,
did
I
you know why he was on a cross?
No, I didn't.
And did you know he was resurrected or not or anything like that?
I don't know. I thought it was Easter, but I don't think
yeah,
so.
Yeah, yeah. I want to share because we do what's called Are You Going to Heaven booth, and we share about the gospel and stuff. And I had a young girl who came up. I said, do you know about Jesus, what he did? She says, well, I know he's a man that did a lot of wrong things, so they killed him.
Oh, whoa.
And so think about that. In her mind, Jesus did a lot of – so I don't know who told her this. I think it was her mom because her mom dragged her from the booth immediately. You're not talking to that person. But in her mind, Jesus did a bunch of bad things. That's why he was killed on the cross. Had no idea the resurrection. And so how many people, when it comes to Christianity and the Bible, they're thinking about a negative experience. They're thinking of the Bible thumper, okay? They're on an alley someplace shooting up dope, and some Christian walks up and says, you're going to hell because you're shooting up dope, and that's the only gospel they know. Well, that's not the gospel. That's not the true gospel. There is the bad news. We're sinners. It's amazing to me that I don't find too many people that want to argue with me that they're sinners. I mean, I think we all pretty much know that. I have had a couple of young people that told me they've never sinned in their life.
Whatever.
And so they're liars, okay?
I've
and so
sinned.
They sinned. Okay, and so that we have to acknowledge we're sinners and that there's a Savior, someone that set us free. You just shared with me that you wrote something about the concept of the cross. Why don't you share kind of what you had?
Yeah, well, I knew today was coming, so I did a little studying. And,
oh,
you know,
okay, there we go.
We'll see if this is right. You know, I don't even know if it was Christian. I don't even know, but
okay.
I just wrote it down. It says, Jesus gave his life as a sacrifice to pay for the sins of mankind. And I wrote down, I was actually flipping through the Bible also,
mm-hmm.
and I found in John, it says, For God loved the world. He gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That's what I wrote down.
Yeah, and that's the gospel.
Okay.
Is he died on the cross, and he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, God gave his only begotten Son, that we can have eternal life. For many listening, they don't even know what eternal life is, maybe. I don't know if I want eternal life. My life is hell, and that's, why do I want to live for eternity?
Life after death.
Yeah, right. Life after death. And that the reality is that no matter how evil you have been, no matter how evil life you have lived, no matter what you've done, there's a God that loves you, a God that cares about you, that has a plan for you. And Jeremiah says he has a plan for us to prosper. He has a plan for us to have fruitfulness in our life, and that's through Jesus Christ, that he gives us that ability through his Son. And we only have a few minutes left here. The time goes by. I think we need to be on the air more than once a week to cover all the things we need to cover. But as we're going to have to be closing here shortly, there's something Josh shared and talked about in the car as you're talking, and talked about forgiveness, and that there needs to be a point of forgiveness in our life. We need to forgive ourselves, be able to forgive others. And I want to share that if you go to God and you say, you know what? I've messed up. I've messed up my life. I made a lot of bad choices, and I just need God for you to work in my life. And we go to him, and we ask him for forgiveness. The Bible says if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, we have eternal life. And so I'm going to share with you as we close out this show that if you want eternal life, you want to be able to be in heaven in a place where there's no turmoil, there's no conflict, where there's love and peace and joy. The reality is we're not going to have heaven on this earth. We can do the best that we can. We can, you know, I think Josh is doing his part to try to bring some heaven on earth for some individuals. As he shares a story, he's giving hope to some individuals. But our real hope isn't here on this earth. Our hope is for heaven to come. And so I'd encourage you, go to our website. There's information how you can accept Christ. There's information on how you can find eternal life and to be able to see a change in your life. Now, here's what I won't tell you. Some will tell you, accept Jesus, everything's going to be perfect. Now, I know something with Josh. He's allowed God to come into his life, and things haven't been perfect for him. The reality is he's had to make some choices. There's some struggles. I mean, he's not living on his own. He's living in a clean and sober house. He's not on his own right now. So things haven't turned out perfect for Josh, but as he's turned his life over to God, and we're going to have to share with him more what that means. Go ahead.
Well, you know, the one big thing about living in a clean and sober house and not being on my own is just a healthy learning lesson for me.
Yeah, and I am so appreciative of you being in the house. I mean, you're a great influence. If we have guys listen to the house, some are probably going to be mad because I turn around and lift you up. I put you on the show twice and everything, but you're doing it right, and I appreciate that so much. Well, what I want to encourage you to do is, again, go to our website, dareshoperadio.org. There'll be more information. We had no time to cover some other subjects. We talk about sexuality, God's perspective on sex. We talk about forgiveness and how we got to forgive God, ourselves, and others. We have to forgive God at times. Sometimes bad things happen in our life, and we're blaming God, and we have to come to a place and realize it wasn't God. Closing open doors, we talk about there's things that we can do that opens up doors. So the reality for Josh, if he turns around and he walks into a liquor store, he's opened up a door. And so if he turns around and walks in a liquor store, he can't turn around and say, God, why did I go to drink? It's your fault. God's going to come back to him and say, I told you not to walk in a liquor store. Breaking curses. I believe that you can break the curse of alcoholism. I don't believe that there's a lie that says if your parents are alcoholic, you have to be an alcoholic. That's a lie.
That is a lie.
You don't have to be that way. And then we talk about baptism and the Holy Spirit, how you can have God's Spirit to help you. But thank you for listening. It is so great, Josh, to have you on the air.
Thank you very much.
We're going to have to do it again.
Definitely.
You're going to be my co-host if we're not careful here.
All right.
So I thank you for listening. If you have questions about God, other things, go to thereishoperadio.org. We appreciate you listening to our show. I want you to know there's hope tonight. God bless you.
You've been listening to There Is Hope, a program dedicated to getting those trapped in addiction on the road to recovery and living clean and sober lives. The opinions expressed on the preceding program were not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of this station, and any advice or counsel given was provided for informational purposes only. For more information on what you've heard about today, click on thereishoperadio.org. That's thereishoperadio.org. Tune in again next Saturday night at 7 for more hope and encouragement on There Is Hope, here on 820 AM KGNW. The preceding program was sponsored by Fairhaven House. Fairhaven House is a faith-based, clean and sober housing and discipleship program. If you or someone you know are looking for clean and sober housing with a peaceful atmosphere, Fairhaven House may be right for you. Go to fairhavenhouse.info. That's fairhavenhouse.info, also sponsored in part by the Center.